Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And with us this week, we have Moira Nguyen, who had been immersed in the New Age movement and its practices for 25 years before a remnant of truth from her Catholic school days made her take a second look at her life. Since then, Moira has been on a mission to warn Catholics about the dangers of dabbling in the New Age. Even a little New Age practice mixed with Catholicism can affect one's attitude towards the faith, she says, leading to a superstitious rather than a sacramental life. Today, we'll be discussing the New Age in her book, Ransomed from Darkness, The New Age, Christian Faith, and the Battle for Souls. Welcome to the show, Moira.
Thank you.
So, Moira, as we walk through this very personal testimony of yours and your experience in the New Age ideals, let's start at the beginning. You were raised Catholic, so how strong was your faith growing up?
Well, really, it was more of a cultural Catholic, I'd say, because I knew I was Irish and I knew I was Catholic, but I thought that Irish Catholic was an ethnicity. I didn't realize that it actually had faith attached to it, because it was the kind of Catholic faith where my mother took my brothers out of Catholic school because the nuns told her she had to cut their hair, and it was a time when the Beatles were popular. So she liked that Beatle mop look instead of the typical crew cut that other boys were wearing. So when she told the nuns, "I'm not going to send them to Catholic school because I don't want to cut their hair," I would say that's cultural Catholic. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's a really tried and true Catholic. So we were really raised cultural Catholic, and not with a united front of faith of, you know, both parents really explaining the faith or showing the faith or leading us in the faith. We always went to church on Sunday, but it was more of a traditional thing, like you go to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And not all of it was sort of like a, you know, not something with actual faith attached to it, but more just going through the motions and the role playing.
Gotcha.
Of being Catholic. So I never understood the wealth of our mm-hmm. church. My gosh, such a huge, huge deposit of wealth over the last several thousand years, and I didn't tap into any of it. It's mm-hmm. like somebody giving you a, you know, you're born, you get baptized, you get your first communion, and you wait till, you know, the reconciliation, first communion, then you wait, get your confirmation. But nobody ever explained to me that really I'm the daughter of the King, and I have a huge inheritance, and only if I could tap into that wealth. And I never knew that at all until I grew up and became a middle-aged person, which the good news is I finally got the grace to learn about that.
Yeah, so eventually, because of that cultural Catholicism, referred to it as, you found yourself in a non-Catholic, non-Christian school, and that played into your path away from the faith. So what was it in that experience that ended up drawing you away from Catholicism and into these other New Age ideas you ended up landing in?
Well, you know, it's a good one because a lot of people experience this in our culture. Mother Teresa said always, God doesn't ask us to be successful. He asks us to be faithful. Mm-hmm. Those words right there were such a relief to me when I finally heard them as a middle-aged person, but I didn't know them as a young person growing up. Everything in my life was, in my culture, was you need to be successful. My dad was a professor at a university. I needed to be successfully completing school. I needed to get into a college and be successful. Everything was about success. And that's not what Christianity, the opposite is. He asked us to be faithful. I didn't even know there was faith. I didn't even have any faith. So success was really the key to us. And I was sent to a private school that was a college prep school, so you could learn how to do well in school and get prepared for college and do well enough in the prep school that you can get into a good college. Mm-hmm. That was the whole goal. Not going to church, not having any faith. And, you know, so I was sent away to this prep school, and my roommates were from different, you know, one was Jewish, the other one was Protestant, and one was something else, and they just didn't go to church at all, any of their churches. Once in a while, to the temple, I used to go with her to the temple, because they had good food, you know. I didn't really, anything to do with God was not on my mind. Everything to do with graduating from this school and getting into a good college was all I could think of.
Right.
And I think a lot of people were pressured that way. Maybe they still are today. I'm pretty sure they are. Judging on the huge student loans everybody has,
mm-hmm.
they're really pressured that way.
Yeah, and not only that, your story, what you just said there, is still rings true today. I lead a TMIY, That Man Is You group, and that's a common theme among the older men in my group, is they send their kids away to college, and after raising them in the Catholic Church all their life, they come back. Some of them aren't even Christian. They're atheists.
Yeah, because the culture is going to eat that up. It's going to say, you know, that you're your own God. That's what I ended up falling prey into, all of that, because I was successful. I ended up, my very first job out of college, working for a top Hollywood movie producer, getting a degree in media. And, of course, everybody in the office was a fallen away Catholic because they were all Italians. So they were making the Godfather movies and then Apocalypse Now and different movies. Was part of the movie industry. And everybody in my circle, in our world, was Italian Catholics, and they, or some, pretty much that. And I was, and I think I was the only Irish person working there. But the point is that everybody was so fallen away Catholic. So there's nobody there in that culture to support each other. Hey, you want to go to church with me? What? That would be like saying, hey, do you want to go to Timbuktu with me? I mean, they didn't understand any of it, and neither did I. We were so far removed. Everything was about the here and now, and how do we succeed in this culture and make money today?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very successful as a young person in my 20s. I fulfilled what my parents' mandate for me was. You know, thank goodness I didn't die back then, because God would have said, what did you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
My hands were full with nothing for him. I didn't even know that was a teaching. I didn't even know the concept of that. I thought God was pleased because my parents were pleased. How wrong could you possibly
right.
be? But in the culture that I ended up in, which would be New Age culture down the road, because at one point I had a terrible car crash in the company car. So I had to get well, and I was a young person still, barely 30 years old, and my body was not able to go to work anymore. There I was on workman's compensation thinking, my gosh, I'm young for this. I'm not an old person yet. I shouldn't be on this, you know, I still need to get back in the working world. So I did everything I could to try to get well, which includes a lot of alternative healing. When you go looking for alternative healing in a lot of wrong places, you end up in following the New Age movement,
mm-hmm.
which is teaching you that you're your own God. If you just do this and do that and you're the doer, you could be your own God. And at one point they kept telling me that Mary was a goddess, Blessed Mother was a goddess. So I just want to really thank the Sacred Heart nuns from second grade, because when I was getting prepared for my first communion in Catholic school in second grade, my last, one of the few moments of Catholicism in my life was the very early years, kindergarten through second grade. The actual teaching was that Mary was real.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her saying, the nun saying, she's real. She's your mother. You could count on her. And I thought, well, that's true. Okay. And then when you get further into the New Age, they start teaching Mary as a goddess. And even they explain all these apparitions that like they'll say at Medjugorje that she's the goddess from heaven coming down to meet the Gaia, the goddess from earth. And all these things were in the, you know, Barnes & Noble and all the big bookstores on the goddess spirituality and goddess movement and goddess everything. You know, the revival of, as Pope John Paul II reminded us, the revival of ancient Gnostic paganism and religious rites and all that stuff that they think would help get more spiritual. No, it helps you get more into heresy
mm-hmm.
and more into deception is what the problem is. So thank you for those nuns, because I did remember at that one point while I was getting, you know, fed these lies that Our Lady was real,
mm-hmm.
and that if she was real, therefore, you know, she's a saint, and I could call on her, and I could talk to her, and I could ask her to help me. And so as I was reading these lies about her as a goddess, I simply walked away from some of the New Age training I was under. At that point, I was under Anthony Robbins. Everybody's heard of Tony Robbins,
mm-hmm.
Infomercials. He's pretty famous. But he's a very advanced trainer in neurolinguistic programming and hypnotherapy, and I was taking his trainings. And there were a lot of doctors and nurses and therapists in that training, too. He's taken all of this to a very advanced level as a what he calls a life coach, that kind of thing. Trains a lot of top people, including political people. But he is a full-blown New Ager in regards to his philosophies and teachings. I am my own God. In other words, the unholy trinity of the New Age movement is mm-hmm. me, myself, and I. So he's a 100% example of that, and we were learning that. So I walked away from all that training, and I said a simple, heartfelt prayer. My simple, heartfelt prayer was, Mother Mary is all the title I knew for her. Mother Mary, if you really are real and you do exist, because that's what the nuns told me back in second grade, that would have been 30 years prior or something, then I actually want to meet you. I want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find you. Something really simple and heartfelt. And sure enough, she started showing me how to find her. And it was amazing. So people think, you know, I don't know how to evangelize. I don't know how to reach my fallen away family, friends, and relatives. Well, one of the ways was, for me, was that I was being taught lies. And I remembered in my own dark, brainwashed brain after so many years of New Age movement that I was actually seeking the truth, which would be, I wasn't looking for the Catholic Church or Jesus, I was looking for Mary. Well, Mary, of course, if you find Mary, she leads you to the truth. She'll,
mm-hmm.
She's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She'll lead you to Jesus. So sure enough, the next thing that happened is I'm at a drugstore, like a pharmacy, a CVS, they call it. Back
mm-hmm.
then it was Long's Drugs. I don't know if they have it out your way, but now it's called CVS.
Yep.
And they're in the West. They have them out there?
Yes, we do.
And oh, good. Okay. So I'm in the store getting some items, and at the cash register where all the magazines are, there's Life magazine. Now, people think, you know, what do I need to give people to evangelize them? I'm picking up Life magazine in a drugstore at CVS, and Life magazine, the title on it was, Do You Believe in Miracles? And it had a picture of a statue of Blessed Mother. Isn't that amazing?
Mm. Yes, definitely.
So this magazine is what helped evangelize me. I mean, the smallest things can do wonders for people.
Yeah.
Mother Teresa used to give everybody miraculous medals to everybody. St. Maximilian Kolbe gave miraculous medals to everybody. I started giving Life magazine to people. So Life magazine only had two issues in recent history of Our Lady, and they both had the exact same cover. So one was in the early 1990s, 91 or 92, and the next one was 2014. I picked it up in an airport. Exact same cover. First time in the 90s it said, Do You Believe in Miracles? And had a statue of Our Lady. The next one in 2014, it said, Miracles Exist. In other words, miracles do exist.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the whole thing about all the miracles within the church in the last 2,000 years. It's just beautiful. So sure enough, the first magazine, I read the whole thing cover to cover in the parking lot at CVS. You know, this is a woman who just came back out of Tony Robbins workshop for a week over in Hawaii, and I'm coming back to California to get this information. I mean, to go to the store and then I get this information in Life magazine. So I had just finished saying that heartfelt, simple heartfelt prayer back over in Hawaii before I flew back. And so sure enough, I'm reading the magazine, and it's talking about Blessed Mother's appearances for hundreds of years now. Fatima talked in detail about Fatima, reading the whole story. I'm reading the whole thing cover to cover. Every single article in that magazine was devoted to Our Lady, and it was just amazing. They did a beautiful job. And so they had everything from Batania, Venezuela, Akita, Japan, Medjugorje, Lourdes, all the miracles of Lourdes that approved miracles, some apparition in America, which even hadn't even been approved yet, different ones, Knock in Ireland, different ones, and it was like getting a Catholic history lesson in Life magazine in the parking lot in my car.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Isn't that amazing? So yeah. I'm reading that, and if that can reach somebody like me who's been gone from the church since age 15, and I'm sitting there as a middle-aged person in the car, then we can touch other people too. We just have to pray to the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and see what can we give to this person.
Right.
Maybe it's just a miraculous medal and a holy card.
Certainly.
Maybe it's a Life magazine article. Maybe it's another article.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so amazing. So then I get home to my street, and I got to go get my mail. I haven't gotten my mail in a while. And my mailbox is down in a cluster section down the lower end. And my neighbor's out there, one of my neighbors, and she's looking at me and saying, "Oh, how you been? I just got back from Hawaii." And she was from Hawaii. She was raised there. And then she's looking at my magazine. It's in my arm. She says, "Is that the Blessed Mother on Life magazine?" I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "Can I read that magazine?" I said, "Sure. The good news is I had just read it myself cover to cover, so I was willing to give it up." And so I gave her the magazine. It turns out, she says, "I've got to go back to Hawaii because my mom's in the hospital there. She's dying." I said, "Oh, take the magazine." So I find out about a month later, she comes back. She comes to my door, knocks on the door, gives me the magazine. She says, "I read this cover to cover to my mother in the hospital, and she was a fallen away Catholic, and she had me call for a priest. She got her sacraments and died in her sacraments."
Wow.
Isn't that fabulous? And then she said, "And I've joined RCIA. Now, I'm still far, far gone from anything to do with organizations. And I said to her, "Oh, great, great, I'm in the PTA," thinking that her kids go to private school. RCIA is the private school title for the PTA. And she looks at me real funny, like, what a strange thing for a Catholic to say. She doesn't try to evangelize me. She thinks I'm Catholic already. So she says, "Okay, got to go." Well, it would be about 6 to 9 months later, she invites me to the baptism of her children. And I go to that. It's really one of my first times in Catholic church. And she's wondering why I'm... It was so funny because she didn't realize that I hadn't been in the church or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't bother evangelizing me. So I'm still wondering, where do you find Mary, right? And so then and then about a year later, she invites me to the baptism of her husband. So her whole family, you know, her mother died in the state of grace. Her whole family converts, the children, everybody gets baptized, comes into the church, thanks to Life magazine, one issue. So with God, all things are possible.
Indeed.
With his mother, they're probable.
Right. So with that, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll get more into the nuts and bolts of New Age and explain why this is such a dangerous thing to get involved in. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
One of the most influential movements in the church today is centered on St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body, of whose teaching Christopher West is the preeminent translator for a popular audience. In his new book, Word Made Flesh, A Companion to the Sunday Readings, West offers reflections on an entire cycle of Sunday Mass readings through the lens of Theology of the Body, providing a fresh way to process and act on the good news. Check out Word Made Flesh, at Ave Maria Press, or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger. We're here today with Moira Noonan, who's talking to us about her book and her conversion story. The title of the book is Ransomed from Darkness. And we started your conversion story. We're nowhere near being done with it yet, Moira. But the one thing I wanted to back up a little bit and discuss is, you know, you were in this period in your young adult years where you were obviously searching for something. We discussed that you were looking for Mary and trying to find her, and you end up finding this whole New Age movement. And one of the things I want to talk about this segment is, you know, what was it in the New Age movement that drew you in, and what are the dangers of New Age movement for those unfamiliar with the details of what it is?
I think that I innocently got involved in New Age movement. I don't think anybody actually plans to walk in the door and say, hey, I want to be a New Ager, sign me up. It's more insidious and deceptive than that. For example, I got into it because, believe it or not, my insurance company actually paid for it, into the occult part of the New Age movement. At first, it was sort of more innocent, just looking for, you know, you see these programs back when I was first out of college. Well, in college, for example, there was a lot of signs on the bulletin board: come to this meditation, come to this yoga class, come to these meditation classes, come meet this guru from India. Well, that sounds exotic and exciting, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Or, are you stressed? Come to a Zen meditation. Come get Zen. Let Zen relieve your stress. You know, stuff like that. Now they use words like centering prayer can relieve your stress. Come get, a stress relaxation massage, and it could end up being Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of different types of ways people get enamored and moved by things in the New Age movement. And then before they know it, they're actually buying into the philosophy and the teachings and the heresies of New Age. And usually that starts happening when, when somebody breaks the first commandment. And that's really easy to break in the New Age, because the New Age is never giving God, praising and worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It will always worship me, myself, and I. And so the I-ism of the movement, self-ism, remember the self-help movement back in the 80s, everybody was self-help this, self-help that. I mean, there still is. You can go to Home Depot and take self-help courses all morning. You can go to different places, Barnes and Noble, and get, different stores. They have self-help stuff still going on. But back then it was really, really about self. I can do it myself. I can be myself. And everything was self-realization, self-actualization. These are actually workshops that I would have taken. Self-enlightenment, fulfillment, self whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Never about surrendering the self. You know, as a Christian, we want to look at surrendering ourselves. What does God want us to do? What is God's will? I mean, especially when I talk to young people, I always say, I was not looking for God's will in my life. I was looking for my will. And doing my will did not give me the peace, the joy, and the satisfaction of knowing that I'm doing God's will. God's will is really tremendously different level and a beautiful, beautiful experience to be able to say I'm doing God's will. It's really energizing, actually, and not depleting to the body or the soul or to our lives. And so fact is that I was doing my will, and I was looking for God in all the wrong places. I thought I was being spiritual. Gee, I'm really spiritual. I'm doing all these self-enlightenment programs. I'm really meditating. I'm looking for my spirit guide or my angel guide, or I'm getting more into the inner core of my being, or I'm getting into my higher self. These are some of the things that they coin phrases they tell you when you come to these, angel meditation programs or whatever you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's just goofy stuff. You know what? They actually teach them in health and wellness training programs, or stress relaxation training programs at corporate offices these days. They're actually doing that. So people get into it really innocently, or they're, you know, I've had men tell me that, you know, men and women tell me, gee whiz, in my sales program, my sales training, I'm taught that I can, I'm taught to take the Tony Robbins, the Anthony Robbins training. Their CDs and their videos or their programs, so that I can learn to be more self-fulfilled. I can learn to turn fear into power and get more successful and be less intimidated and less fearful, and I can be more successful for my actual job, you know, mm-hmm. of getting my sales quota met. I mean, people get into things innocently.
So they're basically what's happening is they're using... They're smartly using keywords to draw people in, and then once they're in, they're hooked.
Well, it can be that way. You see that with yoga people all the time.
Right.
I'm just taking it for exercise. I'm just doing this or that. Well, yeah, a few years later, you know, you're not. You're doing all kinds of meditations. You're getting involved with the gurus. You're getting involved with just the music alone can completely hypnotize your brain. I had a senior citizen tell me that they had it at their senior center, and it was just chair yoga or something like that. But because he liked it so much, he decided to get on the internet and look for other yoga. And he said, "Now I need to understand something." And I said, "Oh, you got involved in Kriya yoga?" And he said, "Yes." So you went from physical yoga to Kriya yoga, Hatha yoga to Kriya yoga, and Kriya yoga is a psychic yoga. It's to open your third eye so that you can have more psychic awareness. Extrasensory perception awareness, and then you get all kinds of problems because it's like getting hypnotized. You're just opening the door to the demonic plane with your brain and your mind. So he was just, you know, here's a senior citizen male just wondering, what do I do now? I got involved in all this stuff, you know, and it started out with chair yoga at the senior center. So I've met so many cases like that where people get involved in things. So many. I mean, I get emails from people, you know. And it doesn't matter, all different denominations of Christianity telling the pastor, telling me his wife took off and left him and the kids. She's all following her yoga guru teacher now and gone wild. I've had Catholics tell me this. I've had different people tell me they've lost their families to it.
Other thing that's coming up here in this conversation, age is not discriminatory either.
Not at all. Not at all. No, not one bit, as a matter of fact, because, I mean, I was in college when I was being told, you know, you can take this Zen Buddhism and get involved in this and that and be, you know, if your college classes are stressing you out or your exams or everything, just come to a Zen meditation program. Well, now it would be come to center on yourself. It's always about self, capital S, and pretty much all New Age leads to the worship of self. Now, here's what happens with that. If you go from that into further psychic phenomena or Reiki, and which is a person becomes a medium in order to do the practice, then what happens is that the worship of self becomes worship of Satan. It goes into selfism, turns into Satanism, and you don't even know it. Before you even know it, it's already turned. And that's the problem. And that's one of the things that happened to me, and it's happened to many people I've talked to. It is a real problem because they don't actively think or know that they're worshiping anything, but they think they're honoring. They think they are God because that's what the New Age teaches, and that you're honoring yourself as a God, as a co-creator of God with God. You're a creator God too. You can manipulate and manifest your own reality, which is part of stuff what Tony teaches, Anthony Robbins teaches, and one of the other New Age leaders teaches this kind of thing. And so you don't even realize that you have gone into another world, and the deception of it is the angel of light is deceiving you completely. That's why the cover in my new book, Spiritual Deceptions, actually has people walking towards the light, and they fall off the cliff, and they're falling into perdition, the lake of perdition, because they don't even know. They're falling one another into it. And in the Protestant world, the top book is called The New Age Nightmare by Dr. Randall Baer, who's now deceased. And that book explained his own personal journey where he thought he was following the light. And one fine day, this angel of light showed his really ugly face, and he realized he was following a completely deceptive angel, a demon. Mm. And his story is on 700 Club and all of that, but it's just, for me, it was similar in that regard, and that's why it's so deceptive, mm-hmm. and it's so insidious, and it's in the culture in so many different ways, and for the young people today especially, it's in video games. Really, really a way that they're getting, enamored with the whole thing. And like one priest I listened to his homily, he said, if we've spent so much time on giving our mind and our eyes to demonic images, how will you be attracted to the light? How will you even know what the light is? If you've never encountered Jesus and you don't give him any of your time, any of your thoughts or sight or whatever, how will you even recognize him? You're so busy recognizing Dungeons and Dragons. You're so busy recognizing demonic images in video games and movies and in different ways. How will you know? How will you want to know?
Right.
And a lot of people, even in the New Age movement, feel the spiritual warfare because they have opened the door to the demonic influence so tremendously. And they feel spiritual warfare. And the New Age leaders just tell them, take a lot of showers. that'll do the job. If your crystals have picked up some negative energy, take them down, put them in the lake or put them in the ocean. They'll be fine after that. Stupid stuff like that. Mm. I had one guy call me, and he was a marathon runner, but he was following Buddhism. And he says to me, there's some dark spirit following me. And I said, look, and he said he kept running and it wasn't leaving him. Like he can outrun the spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Outrun a demon, a marathon or something. And I said, well, why don't you just call on Buddha? He'll take care of it for you. You're a Buddhist, right? So I had already given him a miraculous medal and different things to do with Mary because he was actually interested in Mary as well. And he's one of the stories in my book, Ransom from Darkness, the New Age Christian Faith and the Battle for Souls, has about seven different stories in it. I'm only one story, and mm-hmm. It's also in seven languages in eight countries now because it's helped so many people all over the world. So it's in French and Spanish, Italian and Polish, Croatian, many, many languages. So it's really exciting, and the feedback we're getting from people from all over the world is it's helping people in their cultures too, wherever they are, because New Age is in every culture now. Mm-hmm. It's in every country now.
Definitely.
It's just insidious. So I said to him, okay, so he says, no, Buddha didn't work. It didn't work. I said, okay, call on Jesus. And he said, all right, real silently, okay. And so he did. He calls me back a while later, and he said, Jesus worked. I said, okay. I know he does. He always does. So he worked for you because you were probably baptized as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So now you decided to be Buddhist. And I said, so he did become, he at 52 years old, became Catholic. Actually, at 48, he joined RCIA. It took him 2 years at 50. He became into the church. And he died of cancer at 52, but he died in the sacraments. Mm. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. So we're going to take
stories in the book too.
Excellent. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about your own conversion-reversion story and how that came to be. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today we've been chatting with Maura Noonan about her book, Ransomed from Darkness, The New Age Christian Faith in the Battle for Souls. And we've also been talking about her conversion story back to the Catholic faith. And back in segment one, we left off where you had just gotten a copy of Time Magazine, of all things, to be an evangelization tool. And we were talking about your entrance. We were getting ready to talk about your RCIA experience. So let's pick up there and continue with your conversion story.
Thank you. So what happened is after that, after Life Magazine reading all about Mary, I wanted to, and my neighbor getting the mileage out of it, I ended up, and the whole family being converted, I ended up really wanting to know more about Mary. So I had a babysitter who was about 19 at the time, and she said to me, my mother goes to Catholic Church. And I said, really? Well, can you call her? I want to ask her how to meet Mary. So, I mean, it was really innocent. So I call her. So she gets her mother on the phone, and I said, you know, I would really like to meet Mary. And I'm not looking for the Catholic Church. I'm just looking for Mary. And she thought, wasn't that – she didn't say to me, you know what, sure, that's kind of strange. Everybody's looking for Mary or whatever. She just said to me, here's what you do. I said, okay. And she said, I want you to go down to the Diocesan Center. And they're going to have a meeting at the diocese, and it's going to be at their offices there, and it's going to have some speakers. So I thought, okay. You know, and there's somebody there that had an experience of Mary, and I think you'll like it. So sure enough, I invited my friend. By then, I was going to this very strange New Age church. I had already become a minister in the Church of Religious Science, which is similar to Unity Church or Unitarian Church.
So just to stop you there quick, not only were you in New Age following it, you were actually preaching it and teaching it.
Right. I had gone through their seminary training as to become a minister in New Age churches, and I worked in the churches, yes. Yeah, so there is quite a... Nowadays, they put these churches under non-denominational in the Yellow Pages, but quite honestly, or in the Internet, back in the day, they would call them New Age, New Thought churches, but they're really under the title of New Age churches. It's kind of like you go into certain stores and it'll have New Age music. It's an actual category now. But the thing is that, so these New Age churches like Unity Church or Unitarian Church, Church of Religious Science, they don't teach Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Son of God, capital S. They teach that he is just a teacher and you can do it too. He did it. He's our role model. And there are many other teachers, masters from the hierarchy of master teachers, ascended masters, that kind of thing. And they did it. They're just going to show you the way. You are one too. You just have to wake up from this, from this dream that you live in. And this is all New Age theology, but we're not supposed to get into that right now, so I won't go into it. But it's for the next topic.
Yes.
But basically, I was pretty well brainwashed in that world. So for me to want Mary, look for Mary, and want to find Mary was a big deal. And it's really because of, you know, the nuns telling me she was real back in second grade. So, and that she's visiting, and then Life Magazine telling me that she's visiting our planet. So I'm thinking, she's coming to Earth? I want to meet her. So so sure enough, I called this one of the other ministers from the church. She was a Fallenway Lutheran, which I didn't know what she was. I just said, do you want to meet Mary? She said, Mary who? And I said, Mary, you know, Mary from heaven. She's not a goddess, by the way. She's real. And she's wondering why I'm calling her, but she said, okay, I'll meet her. If you say so, let's go meet her, you know. So, because I was considered one of the top psychics at the church as well, because I had been trained in psychic and phenomena to be, so people were coming to me as clients, as a psychic and all of that. So at any rate, so I took we went to the Diocesan Center, the two of us. And we walk into this meeting, and they're having a Catholic speaker. And sure enough, this man was talking about his experience with his wife. They went on some anniversary trip to different shrines in Europe. And he explained that he fell in love with Mary, and it was very, very real the way he talked about it. He had been a businessman, made a lot of money, and found out that according to his wife, he needed to get more spiritual, so they went on this trip. At any rate, he gave us all a Kodak picture of Our Lady, and it looked kind of like a statue of her. And I was just enamored by it. I just thought, I didn't even notice that it was very, very, very pro-life image, sort of like Our Lady of Guadalupe. She had, she looked like she was carrying Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, for some reason, it just, maybe the pictures are all blessed. Blessed objects really help a lot when you're trying to evangelize people. And they gave us all each a picture. And I thought, what a nice person to give us a real Kodak picture. At any rate, so they went into Bible study. We walked out because the Bible study, they teach, we thought, well, they don't know what they're teaching because they teach it literally. We are learning it in New Age metaphysically, mental physically, they actually call it sometimes. So we learned it in a different way, and that it's just all formula, you know, like you do these formulas and you'll be enlightened too, that kind of thing. And so similar to the popularity of the code, do this code, this code, this code. This is all New Age, kind of pushing New Age. It's not the Word of God, which is what, you know, the way Scott Hahn teaches or somebody like that, the Word, Steve Ray, the Word of God, just beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So so basically we left, but we knew we still want, she now wants to meet Mary. So we're both excited about meeting Mary. That was enough to really, and we didn't figure anybody there knew except for this one man who went all the way to Europe, and we thought, well, we'll go where he went. And so we decided to take a little walk down to the Bay Park there and sit on the park bench. And we, New Agers carry these pendulums similar to, good Catholics carry rosaries. Good New Agers carry pendulums, meaning they're very much into what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
which would be contacting their spirit guide. So these pendulums are on a long rope, and they're crystal, not glass crystal, but rock crystal. And they're programmed and all of that, so they're not something to have. People, anybody with crystals, please, unless they're glass crystal made in, you know, Austria or something, get rid of them. So, so basically, the crystal was used, New Agers use them to contact their spirit guides, their angel guide. They think it's an angel. They don't realize, we did not realize that they were demons. That's how naive we were. We were here, we were ministers and very, very advanced in the teachings of the New Age churches, and we didn't realize that we were calling on demons. We just thought they were angels, other angels, maybe our guardian angel or maybe a different angel. That's how the naivety of the people getting involved is
right.
pretty serious.
So here's a quick question for you relative to that. Do you think, you know, there's no hierarchy to the New Age movement, so to speak, like we have in the Catholic Church? So it's essentially these offshoots of people everywhere doing different things. Is this a general problem that people don't realize that these are actually demons they're dealing with? Or is it more of a, are there people that realize that that is what they're dealing with and they just don't care?
This is a very good question, Pete. Thank you for asking it, because general New Agers and the general New Age movement, middle-of-the-road New Agers, they don't have a clue, really don't have a clue. I was becoming more advanced in occultism through psychic phenomena and psychic practice, and I still didn't have a clue. The persons that do have a clue would be Wicca, Wiccan, witchcraft, and Satanism. They definitely have a clue because mm-hmm. they're actually going out of their way to use those the hierarchy of demons to get the power. So they know exactly what they're doing. And so that's one of the problems today is that, like, if you go into Barnes & Noble or any of the stores, you'll see all the Harry Potter books and the different witchcraft stories for kids. And it's right next door to the, you know, the shelf next to it is going to be, you know, the handbooks on and the teaching on the craft, mm-hmm. on full-blown witchcraft. And that's right there. So they know. They know that these kids are going to grow up, and by the age of 12, 13, when it gets full knowledge of the craft. High schools know, that's why they have Wiccan clubs. I mean, this is very serious. And yes, it is a serious problem that a lot of youth today do know. And they're all excited about getting the power from those demons. And that's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. In other cultures, they know by using Qigong and different rituals in Asian culture, some different cultures, they're using certain kinds of martial arts. They definitely know that they have to be using some kind of force to get the power in Qigong, for example, with calling on the different energies of the planets and different spirits. In many, many different types of paganism religions, they call on Shintoism and different things. They call on, they're going to call on spirits. Do they know they're demon spirits? I'm sure their teachers do.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, because they get a lot of power. And so, you know, our religion, Christianity, is not a religion of trying to get power.
Right.
Our Lady became powerful by being humble. I mean, it's the complete opposite of occultism, New Ageism, all the other isms.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complete opposite, you know. And that's even how the church uses to discern these people that say they have visions and apparitions and gift of healing and all these different things. What are their virtues? What power are they using? Are they operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Are they operating on the virtues of the Holy Spirit? I mean, the discernment of the church, we're so opposite of the way of the world and the way of the other, of spiritism, that all of that can be is called spiritism, quite honestly. All cultism, spiritism, it just has different forms as it manifests itself in different cultures.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Whether it's shamanism in South America or whether it's old English-style witchcraft and you know, in Druidism, Druids or whatever, Wiccans and so forth. It just depends on the country and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about all this in my new book, Spiritual Deceptions, and the Comprehensive Guide to Discernment. It has a lot of this in that book with the definitions, mm-hmm, and terminology and the Vatican document on these kinds of talking about these things, and Archbishop Norberto's document talking about this out of Mexico. So there's a lot going on with it, and so I'll get back to my conversion story.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue with your conversion story.
Okay.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Marriage is ordered between one man and one woman because, like God's love, it is called to be fruitful, open to life. Well, there's a lot of confusion in the culture today, but here is some clarity in the following beautiful quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2335. Each of the two sexes is an image of the power and tenderness of God, with equal dignity, though in a different way. The union of man and woman in marriage is a way of imitating in the flesh the Creator's generosity and fecundity. End quote. Listen, be not afraid. Couples that are willing to live openness to life in their marriage will receive not only many spiritual benefits, but a very practical strengthening of their marriage. I'm Jim Littleton, forming FaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Today we've been talking with Maura Nguyen about her book, Ransom from Darkness, The New Age, Christian Faith, and the Battle for Souls. And we've been talking about your conversion story, Maura. And one of the things that played a big role in that is the miraculous medal. So can you tell us a bit what you experienced relative to the miraculous medal as you came back to the church?
I will. It's really exciting, actually, because it's another small thing that, you know, families can use to help each other. So what happened was is that around this time, after the experience in the diocesan center, one of the things that happened when we were using the pendulum, it wouldn't work whatsoever. And the thing that happened is that I went to reach for it, and it wasn't working at all. And at the same time, I heard a very, very sweet, sweet interior voice say to me, pray the rosary for your prayers to be answered. Pray the rosary. So I told the woman that I was with, you know, I'm not allowed to touch that pendulum ever again. I was completely convicted on the spot, just having gone to that meeting. And I later find out that the people, when they went into Bible study, they were praying and interceding for us, and they were all, believe it or not, the deacon that ran the Bible study was the spiritual director of Mother Teresa's convent. His wife was a lay missionary of charity with Mother Teresa's order. Several of the seminarians and lay missionaries were there, and they were all part of that particular Bible study prayer meeting. And they were all praying for me and for her. They knew we were lost puppies, and they were praying for us in a beautiful way. And I would find out a few years later that they did that, because when I saw them again at the convent, when I saw them at the convent a few years later, they said, "Oh, you're the lady we were praying for." And I said, "Well, it worked. I'm now in RCIA." So we decided to get a rosary at that store, the diocesan store, the next day and learn how to pray it, which was very difficult. We knew nothing. Anyway, around that time, my grandmother died, and I thought, you know, I loved her dearly, so I wanted to go to her funeral. She was a devout Catholic, and I hadn't lived with her or been with her since a teenager, really any length of time. And so I went up to her, out of town, you know, 1,000 miles away, went to her funeral. And sure enough, they had the wake, an Irish wake, which is kind of a strange thing. You know, they're in the casket already, and everybody's praying around her. Mm-hmm. And I recognized the rosary, at least. And so, and this is, my whole family was a fallen away Catholics at that time, so they're all kind of going through the motions. And so I decided I wanted to, it was in her house, believe it or not. So I went upstairs to the second floor, and I thought, you know, I want to just be in her bedroom and sit on her bed and just remember my grandmother. And I don't want to see her in that casket. I didn't like that. So up on her mantle of her fireplace in her bedroom, which was, she had a big master suite, there was a necklace. And I went to grab it, and I thought, this is one she wore every single day. And I thought, I better put this on her body. So I'm walking down the stairs, and I'm realizing, you know, they're never going to interrupt the body to put her necklace on now. She's all laid out beautifully. They're not going to do that. So I went back up to the bedroom, and I said, you know what? I don't know what this necklace was for, but I know if it's good enough for her, it's good enough for me. So I'm going to put it on. So I started wearing the necklace. Well, what does St. Catherine Laboure say? the saint that Our Lady appeared in Paris, France, at her convent, and gave her the apparition and the instructions to make the miraculous, make this medal, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Those who wear it will receive great graces, special graces. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, I put the medal on, and I've got, you know, and I'm just telling my grandmother how much I miss her and I love her. I'm sure she was praying for me, because it was really after that medal and wearing it that many other things happened. And I got to have some beautiful things happen. One was I got to confession. I had a priest help me and give me a life confession, because it's one you have to go make an appointment in the office and go to the office and sit there and go through your whole life. And he had the time and the patience and the willingness to do that. So that was so wonderful. Our priests are really generous with their time. They really are beautiful to do that for us. And he said to me, now I want you to join RCIA. And I said, RCIA? I've heard of that. And he said, it's not the PTA, huh? And he said, no, not the PTA, it's RCIA. And I want you to go as and get involved in that. Well, I was so excited about the whole thing that, and he said, I want you to go to the Benedictine Monastery, and I want you to get a spiritual director there as well that can direct your soul from all of this heresy back to Christian mindset, which was going to take a while because it was so brainwashed with so much New Age heretical teachings and theosophical, you know, philosophies and so forth. And so, sure enough, what does St. Maximilian Kolbe say? And I also did the consecration to our Blessed Mother through the novena of St. Maximilian Kolbe's teachings. And he says, wherever she enters, she stamps out heresy, wherever she enters. So that's why whenever I give my testimony, I give everybody miraculous medals, just like Mother Teresa did to everybody. You'd see all these people coming back from India, and they go to their gurus, and they all have miraculous medals. A lot of New Agers wear miraculous medals. They like them. And she gave them blessed miraculous medals. Because you got to remember, most New Agers are baptized Catholics. Most of them were Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Because Catholics have a mystical bent. They're interested in mysticism. So if they're not getting fed as young people in the church, they're going and looking for it in other places. Unfortunately, today, they're looking for it more in Wicca and in other dangerous spiritism versus, you know, well, New Age is dangerous too, but say instead of, say, an Indian guru, which just could be just as bad, they're getting involved with more direct Wiccan teachers and Wiccan leaders and Wiccan cults and things like that. So that's one of the biggest problems. And it's not just something I'm saying. Dr. Dobson, Focus on the Family, Christian Radio forever has been saying this for about 10 years now, that it's one of the biggest dangers. So, you know, we have to take a look at how the culture is really getting our youth. So mm-hmm. if it got me through alternative healing, through college, through the meditation and the yoga and all that, and then really into more of an occult form through the alternative healing, and then ending up in a pain clinic and ending up getting trained through hypnotherapy and becoming a hypnotherapist myself and getting certified in hypnotherapy and then going in trainings with getting trained in neurolinguistic programming, getting trained with Anthony Robbins, getting trained Robbins research, getting trained in Jack Schwartz and shamanism and further some of these Native Indian medicine men and all that kind of stuff. I really went for it. And what was I looking for? Probably God in all the wrong places, but I was mystically bent, mm-hmm. as many Catholics are. And so you'll find in a lot of these movements that they are all baptized. Most of them are baptized Christians. Once in a while you meet, if they're older people anyway, once in a while you meet a non-baptized person from 2 to 3 generations, no baptism, for the last 100 years. That's pretty rare, but nowadays it's not as rare. I'm meeting more and more of that. So baptism is huge, and so it's really a big deal to make sure that we can get our children baptized. So anyway, I was in RCIA for the next 5 years, and many of the stories are in my book, Ransom from Darkness, and they're good stories because all these people wanted to become Catholic that I helped evangelize, and they were not getting married to somebody in the church, and they were not just, it was because they really wanted to fall in love with Jesus and Mary, and they believed me. I said, this is the truth, and they believed me. So
fascinating.
It was really amazing that way. So God uses all of our experiences, because
right.
Romans 8 tells us, with God all things are possible. He takes our past and makes good of it for those of us that trust in him. I don't know the exact quote. People can look it up, but it's Romans 8. And it's just beautiful because it gives us a lot of hope. Hope that whatever we went through, we can now clean up our lives and go forward and do his will and work for him. But we also have to look at, all the years that we lost. Like, what was God's plan for me for all the different things that I wasted time on in the New Age movement. So, there's regret there too. So that's why I work really hard now in ministry to help others and warn others about, staying on track. If you do start doing God's will when you're young, what a blessed life you would have. Tremendously blessed life you'd have.
For sure. And first, thank you for that work you're doing. And we're pretty much out of time today, Mara, but I definitely want to have you back. We've only touched the surface of what you have to tell us about New Age and its dangers, and this is only one of the books you've written. So can you tell listeners where they can find Ransomed from Darkness, The New Age, Christian Faith, and The Battle for Souls?
Yes, you can get it on spiritdaily.com, spiritdaily.org. Carries all my books, and you could get it on amazon.com. Now, it's in different languages as well. If you would like to get it in languages, Italian, Spanish, Polish, Croatian, French, for starters, you can get it at, you can call 1-800-663-MARY, M-A-R-Y, 1-800-663-MARY, and ask for it in different languages there, and they'll be able to get it to you directly with a check or credit card.
All right.
So that's the best ways to get it right now.
Excellent. Well, Maura, thank you so much.
And you could also, if you want me to come and speak for your groups,
yes,
parish, youth groups, wherever, you can also call 1-800-663-MARY, and they will get the message to me.
Excellent. Maura, thanks so much for taking time out of your scheduled day to spend with us. Any closing thoughts?
Yes. Please give blessed, miraculous medals to everyone you meet, and even holy cards of Mary, because I have Mother Teresa did that. St. Maximilian Kolbe did that all over Rome when he was facing a lot of attacks from Freemasonry and all of that. Mother Teresa gave them to everybody in the world. Even communist dictators got them. Everybody got them. And they work. Our Lady's words are true. Those that wear them will receive great graces. So put them on your grandchildren, put them on your godchildren, put them on your nieces and nephews. Help them keep their faith and receive great grace.
Excellent advice. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.